Hey, this is Wade. I want to talk about large deployment process today because when I was out at IWCE, I sat in several sessions, and most of them were FirstNet sessions. That was a big draw out there. You know, it was mostly government and utility, and they want to know what's going on. But one of the sessions was about deployments, and it was about the large deployment process beginning to end. And I found that very interesting because a lot of times, especially with us, you deal in one part of the deployment, whether it be the beginning, middle, or end. But in what I do in business development is I try to look at a large-scale deployment beginning to end, at least from the equipment that I'm dealing with. So when you're looking at the deployment, and these guys even took a broader view, like from the RFP and the RFI inception all the way to the deployment to the end and how you track it. So I wanted to go over the large-scale deployment, like a large deployment beginning to end. From a bird's eye view, that's something we don't get to see too often is a bird's eye view. It's very interesting looking at it from that angle. Something you see in our industry is that oftentimes, you know, we're down in the weeds, we're in the battle, so to speak, actually putting the equipment in and everything. But when you look at the deployment from a high end, the consultants, the government, or the end customer, they have to be involved in the planning. They have to know how long it takes. And a lot of times, especially in government, you know, it could be a year until they get anything moving because they got to deal with budgets and the money and all that. And they also have to lay out a plan of how they think it will go. You know, the carriers do this too. They do the same thing. The carriers tend to move quicker because they only have to deal with really their part of it. Whereas in government, they have to deal with politics and budgets and they have to justify everything. Whereas with a carrier, it's justified by payback. Payback is very obvious. It's not cost savings. They're going to make money on the system. That's what carriers have to do. So a great example, you know, something you can follow is a FirstNet deployment. There's a large deployment that they're going to look at the whole system. They're trying to put everything together. And the thing about government is they have a lot of politics to deal with. They have to justify this $7 billion they're going to spend. And it's going to be way more than that. It was really a poor estimate to think that $7 billion could do it. So what they have to do is figure out the budget. They have to get buy-in from all these other departments and from all these different entities in government. And with FirstNet, it's especially challenging because they have to deal with all the state governments. And all these state governments are going to really want to do things their way, not the way the feds want to do it, which is fine. You know, I think somehow they'll all come to terms somehow. But the $7 billion... for FirstNet, it's just going to be hard even to build a system on that, much less deal with the politics, delays, the legal terms that they have to deal with. See, that's one thing the carriers, all they have to deal with is their company has buy-in. They want to do the build-out. Everyone has buy-in. Everyone agrees that they want to build a new system or build a new frequency or expand on what they have. And when I say build a new frequency, when they get the auctions, they want to build something out as soon as possible so they can start making money and start filling gaps. So it's something that they all want to do together. But with government, and mostly with government, you have to get all the departments buy-in. You have to get everyone to agree to it. And you have to also find the assets. With carriers, their assets, they know they're going to pay for it, whether they can find them or they can't find them. Their biggest obstacle is the zoning, and the government made that easier for them to get by the zoning. So with all that said, I know I'm getting off track here. I'm talking about the details. But when you're looking at a big system like that, you have to plan it beginning to end. You have to think about the timeline, the budget, the money, how much money is going to go to each part. And when I say each part, you have hardware and you have services. And with the hardware, to me, most of it's straightforward because what they consider the hardware is, say, the radios, the RAN, the radio access network, the core, the routers, stuff like that. That's stuff you can build a bomb with. But then when you get the services, you get more detailed. Now suddenly you have to deal with not only the cables, but the snap-ins. You have to deal with how you're going to mount that, the grounding kits. Are you running fiber up the tower and how are you going to run it? How are you going to connect it? Are you going to put a box up the tower? Now, suddenly, with services and deployment, you have so much more detail. Services really takes a better eye. Trust me, I work services. You really have to know what's going on out there. And it's very hard on a large deployment to just flat fee everything, but that's what a lot of people want. That's how they build budgets, and that's how they plan the deployment. and you're just going to have to hope that change orders can fill the gaps, or that your contractor can fill the gaps. Most of you can. Most of you know what's going on. Most of you have processes in place to maybe update change orders or make things happen. And I know when I did contracting, you know, if you could fill a hole, you just filled it. You just did it to stay on schedule. Schedule was everything. So I know I'm getting, this is crazy, but when you're looking at the big picture, it's a little more confusing because you got to do all this upfront before you deploy a thing. You have to look at the RFP, the request for pricing, and you also have to figure out what it's going to cost for each site. And then just because you won the bid doesn't mean you're going to do the work. Big jobs are tough. You have to make sure you can do it. You have to make sure you're bonded, you have the insurance, all the other paperwork that nobody thinks about before you can even deploy. And it's a step-by-step process. You have to work your way through it. So even before you deploy, there's a lot of detail. If you're going to build towers, there's more things to worry about. You probably have to bring a consultant in to say, can I build a tower here? What's holding me back? Not just zoning and commissioning, but there's a lot of other issues when you build a tower. Trust me, in my session, one of the companies we had talked about all the issues, not only with governments, local governments, that they have NIMBY, not in my backyard. You have so many of those, but you also have other issues. Is it a burial ground? I know that sounds crazy, but it could be. I mean, that's a big issue. Do you have to deal with Indians or tribes? I know I had to deal, the one talk down there at IWCE that I sat through was from Crenshaw Communications. Corey Crenshaw gave a talk about all the issues you run in when you want to construct a tower. And it's so many things. Like I said, could be a burial ground. There could be something else on that property. There could be mineral rights. Someone could own it. Two people could own it. You could build right in the border. A township could protest it. And you have FAA violations to worry about. Are you close to the airport? Where are you? How high can you go? Is there an issue with the airport? Is there a distance restriction from any buildings that are nearby when you build this tower? A lot of crap. So anyway, my point is, when you're looking at a big deployment, you have to think about all this ahead of time. You wouldn't think you would, but you do. And the best thing you can do is come up with alternative ways to do things. Do you have an alternative place to put that tower? Do you have an alternative way to do the deployment? Do you have an alternative way to mount the equipment, to run the equipment, to get power? May you run into more money. You know, that's the other thing. Just because you have a budget doesn't mean you won't break it. So, like I said, you have services, you have hardware, you also have assets. You got to worry about your assets. You also are going to have, are you going to have enough people? You got to worry about all the people you can do. How are you going to manage it? Generally, you know, you have your high-level project managers, then you have a person that concentrates on each specific section. Like one person will concentrate on the wireless deployment. One person will concentrate on the construction of towers. One person, I say one person, really it's a team. I don't mean to take anything away, but it's very complicated. So that's why it pays to build out the schedule, build out the block diagram, and look at everything from a high level, and then start drilling down. So it's a lot of engineering. If you're doing microwave backhaul, there's a lot of engineering that takes place there. If you're doing fiber sometimes takes a lot of time to run places, and you want to be near fiber, so you have to plan out to build out that way, that you're near your resources that you need. All right, I probably put you guys to sleep, but I just want you to understand when you have a large network deployment process, you really got to look at everything, and it's hard. It's very hard, and that's why it's good to have a team to talk through it. A lot of times, that's what we do. We drill down, but we also have a large team to talk through the process and anything we may have missed or anything we didn't think about. On the other hand, sometimes you get too far down in the weeds, and if you're worried about every little thing, you can't do that either. That's called analysis paralysis. And that stops you in your tracks because you just have so much to worry about. All right. Hey, everyone, be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing. See ya.